As you're saying hello to all the wonderful people near you this morning, we want to say hello to you as well. We're so thrilled you're here. We do realize you could be a lot of other places, but we're thankful that you're here, thankful that you are a part of what God is doing at EPAG. The best is yet to come. It's going to be an exciting journey throughout this fall. You're blessed today that I'm not preaching. Some of you shouldn't say amen too loud or you might hurt my feelings, but nonetheless. No, you're blessed today because it is my wife, Amber, who is going to be sharing an opening message for this month as she talks about an emphasis with God's work all over the world. I don't do this often. She shared many times, but I want to take opportunity to say thank you to her. There are so many people actually to say thank you to. We have a wonderful team and a wonderful group of volunteers that serve in every ministry around here. Amber is also one who serves very quietly behind the scenes. She has given, especially in the last 3-4 months, she has served countless hours because she loves EPAG, because she loves you, and probably because she loves me too, I think. But she has served countless hours doing a lot of different things that that people probably will never even know that she did to make it happen. But I just want to say publicly that I am thankful for her. She is not a paid staff member. She does not get to be involved with us week to week, day to day in the operations as often. But she actually works full time as a mental health case manager, and she homeschools our 3 girls. So she is a busy, busy. In fact, I don't even know when she wrote this message. I really have no clue as to when this happened. But I would like for you to welcome, if you would, my beloved bride, Pastor Amber, to come and share this morning.
Well, I did write this message last Sunday when he was preaching. But, I mean, you know, when the Lord gives you a word, you just go with it. So, Lottie's right. I do love EPAG, and I'm thankful that he shares the pulpit time with me. I'm not a preacher, I'm a talker, so just bear with me. But I love missions, and so I was talking with someone in between services, and, you know, if I had one thing to say, if you've never been on a missions trip, go. It really just opens up your eyes and changes your perspective on lots of things, so I digress. Okay. Missions is kind of something that we kind of just hear and talk about in the church, but today, hopefully, I'm going to share with you a little bit more about what missions and missionaries are. So throughout our history, and even in the Bible, right, God's Word, we actually read stories about people who traveled far and wide, driven by a strong belief in spreading the message of hope and redemption of Christ. Those were missionaries. So their missionary journeys show us how they traveled to far-off lands, sharing stories of Jesus. And when they shared those stories, some people's lives were changed, right? Not everybody's, but people's lives were changed. So let's take a look at some of the missionaries in the Bible. So first is Paul. He was a trailblazer in spreading the gospel. He underwent a profound transformation after encountering Jesus, and he embarked on numerous missionary journeys, and he tirelessly spread the message of Jesus Christ across the Mediterranean region. And his unwavering dedication and passion for sharing the gospel led to the establishment of several churches and communities, shaping the early Christian movement. Paul's missionary efforts were guided by his firm belief that salvation was not exclusively for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. So he fearlessly faced opposition wherever he went. He endured hardships, but he also planted seeds of faith in diverse cultures, leaving a mark on the expansion of Christianity. So he's an inspiration to many missionaries today. Barnabas, he was Paul's companion, right? We cannot leave Barnabas out because he was a devoted follower of Christ, and he played a vital role in supporting Paul on the missionary journeys. Barnabas is known for his generosity and genuine concern for others. So Barnabas' partnership with Paul led to the proclamation of the gospel to various regions, fostering the growth of Christian communities. Next, we have Peter. He was a proclaimer of the gospel and one of Jesus' closest disciples. He was very instrumental into the early spread of Christianity. He fearlessly preached the gospel, particularly to the Jewish community, and he emphasized repentance and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So despite facing persecution and challenges, Peter's unwavering faith and commitment to sharing the message of Christ impacted numerous lives, and it laid the foundation, literally, of the church and the Christian faith. Philip was an evangelist. So an evangelist who actively engaged in spreading Christianity beyond the normal geographical boundaries. And so his efforts in Samaria were marked by powerful preaching and miraculous deeds, drawing many to the message of Christ. Philip's dedication to sharing the gospel message exemplifies the transformative power of faith, inspiring others to embrace Christianity. Next, we have Thomas. He brought the gospel to India. So the biblical accounts suggest that Thomas journeyed to India, carrying with him the message of Christ. His ministry in India significantly contributed to the establishment of Christian communities in that region. The impact of Thomas's teachings is still evident today, as South India has a Christian population, tracing its roots back to the seeds he planted centuries ago. Churches across the southern regions of India claim heritage from Thomas's missionary endeavors. His profound influence resonates in various Christian traditions and narratives, showing the legacy of his evangelistic efforts. So now let me tell you about some missionaries that you might not have heard about because their stories are not written in the Bible. John Eliot was a missionary to Native Americans in Massachusetts in the late 1600s. He is responsible for the first Bible ever printed in North America with a translation to Algonquin, which was the local Native Americans. Bartholomew Ziegenbalg was a German missionary and first person to translate the New Testament into an Indian language, and he planted schools in India. Mary Chapman became the first Assembly of God missionary in 1916 to set sail for India, where she held revival meetings in Travancore. Margaret Peoples Shire in 1919 at the age of 22, that's really young, and she was single, was one of the first Pentecostal Christian missionaries to West Africa, where she helped to establish the first Assemblies of God missions in Ghana, and she helped translate the gospel in the local languages there. Ivan Voronov, Voronov, an Assemblies of God missionary who went to Russia and Ukraine in the 1920s. So he helped establish 500 Slavic churches, but he was arrested by the Soviet authorities in 1930, and he was thrown into the Siberian prison camps. And so the Soviet authorities demanded that the Assemblies of God pay for his release. And they paid, but Ivan was not released. Instead, he was martyred in prison in 1937. So I know some of you are probably thinking, okay, that's great. These people have done awesome things. What does that have to do with now, right? What does that have to do with my life? But let me tell you something that's extremely simple that you may or may not have ever been told before. You are a missionary. So look to your neighbor and tell them, you are a missionary. We are all missionaries, and we may not actually look at ourselves like that, but we are all missionaries. So what is a missionary exactly? A missionary is just a person who deliberately steps into the world of the people around them to help them understand the gospel in a way that makes sense to them. So yes, God does call people to leave their homes and to go to faraway lands, but he calls every one of us to spread the gospel daily, as we are all sent by God on a mission to save his people. So all around us in Eden Prairie, I don't know how many of you go out to Eden Prairie and go out to eat or go to the grocery store, but you see lots of people, right? Most of those people are not saved. In your own community where you live, most of them are probably not saved. In our nation and in other countries, many people are not saved and need Jesus. So God called us to be his people for a purpose. He sends us into the world to proclaim his kingdom and to make him known. Wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we are doing, we are sent to make disciples of all people, to be his witnesses. So turn with me to Romans 10, starting in verse 9. I will be reading from the NIV version. I think it'll be on the screen too if you do not have your Bible. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Verse 11, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We are those who bring good news. In John 20:21, Jesus said this, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus' statement was not just for the disciples, but for the church as a whole. It was to participate in the mission of God. We are all sent to bring the good news through our lives, our words, our deeds, because we are all missionaries. Yes, again, we send, we support, we pray for those that are full-time missionaries that go to different parts of the world, but they are not the only ones on the front lines. Every day when you leave your house, you are on the front lines of the mission for God. So therefore, we must pray. We must pray for those on the front lines of missions. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. We must pray for God's mission, and we must pray for the missionaries as we are all on the front lines. We should pray for our church, one another, and ourselves, because without prayer, we can do nothing. So how should we pray? First, we have to devote ourselves to prayer. Prayer is not something that should just be sporadic. The first believers devoted themselves to prayer all together in the upper room until the Holy Spirit came. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says it like this, and I love it. Pray continually. It's very basic, very plain. Pray continually. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We pray watchfully. That means that we are watchful, alert, we're on our guard. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 14:38, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. To pray watchfully means to focus also on the right things, on God, on his kingdom, not only on ourselves and our needs. Prayer enables us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and his kingdom. Prayer also helps us to become silent before God and hear his voice. If we are doing all the talking, we are not listening. We pray with a thankful heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. Paul was not just, you know, having a great day, but he was in prison, which is not a fun place. But yet, in prison, while suffering, he was still thanking Jesus. But Paul was also thanking Jesus when he was having good days, right? Colossians 4:3 through 4 says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Therefore, we should pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Are we asking God every day for opportunities to share? Are we asking him, Lord, open those doors today? Or are we waking up and we're just conveniently quiet about this because we might just be a little scared to share the gospel? So we should pray that we will have wisdom to see the opportunities. Sometimes we miss them. James 1:5 through 6 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by wind. So the Lord gives us wisdom. We should pray for the doors to open for us to share the word. We serve a God who opens doors. Revelations 3, 7-8 says this, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So no man, no person, not even yourself or the devil can close the doors that the Lord opens. So sometimes we miss the opportunities. We don't always see the doors that are open because our focus is on the wrong place. Sometimes we might wake up and we're just having a bad day and our eyes are not on the Lord and what he has for us that day. Sometimes we're just like, I can't do it. I can't share about Jesus today. I don't know what to say. Or you may simply be scared and That's okay. We have those feelings some days. But remember, the focus is not on you or I. The focus is on God. And and God can open those doors because it's his battle, his mission, and he is in control if we give him that liberty to be in control. So he will give us the right words to say and the right ways to share it, but we have to be willing to see the opportunities that he gives us. It can be very overwhelming to share Jesus. I've had those experiences in my life, but when you ask the Holy Spirit to walk you through it and you step out in faith and you walk through the open door and you have your trust in Christ, he can help you. So when we are praying for those opportunities, we should pray that we have that we are able to give a clear proclamation of the word and gospel of Christ when the time comes. So pray that we are able to give clearly and truthfully the word. There's a lot of my truth out. You've heard Pastor Chris talk about that. But there's only one truth, and that is the truth in the word of the Lord. And so we have to be prayerful that we are able to give clear and the truth of the word of God in order for people to understand and come to faith in Christ. When God opens the door, are you ready to step through it? That's a big question to some people. Are you prepared? Have you ever had the opportunity to share Christ with people? You know, we talk about with kids the ABCs of salvation. Do you know that? Are you able to walk people through that? Do you know what the gospel message is? Do you know how to share Jesus with others? It can be very intimidating, but one of the best ways is to share your own story. Let me just tell you that we have youth students in this church that do not come from families that are saved. And they are coming to church because they know this is a place of love. But if they come to you and ask you why you believe in God and why you come to church, be prepared to give them your answer. Because they are looking to you to know what it's like to live out a life of Christ. I've been asked that question. I was asked that question at camp. And thankfully, I was able to answer that question at that moment. I was prepared. I was prepared to say what Jesus had done for my life, how he had changed me, and then where I am today. That is some of the easiest things that you can share about. So we must prepare prayerfully so that we are ready to speak and explain and communicate our story and God's story through us and to proclaim the gospel at all times. We should pray that God gives us clear minds, loving hearts, kindness, gentleness, joy, and peace, fruits of the Spirit. We cannot share the love of God with a hatred in our hearts towards people. We cannot share the love of God with a facial expression that doesn't show it. We cannot share the love of God if we're hollering people and just telling them they're going to go to hell. There's more to Christ and his love. There is the fruits of the Spirit for a reason, right? We should surrender control, though, to the Holy Spirit. Because how many of you know you can't do any of that on your own, right? We need Christ for that. We must have our minds and our thoughts and our words and our mouths speak nothing but Christ. 1 Peter 2:9-12 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Therefore, we are to live wisely in the world." We are Christ's ambassadors. We are witnesses, right? Christ is not here in this earth anymore. He has left us to be his witnesses in the world, and we are to represent his kingdom. We are to live as kingdom people before the world, in the world. What do they see when they see us? They should see Christ. Do they see us living like the world or being separate from the world? When you're at school or at work or out and about, do they see the light of Jesus shining through you? Sometimes you are the only Jesus some people will see. You are the only type of light, a difference that some people will be able to experience in their life. So do they see a reflection of the world or God's kingdom in your life? So that remember, we must live wisely among the unbelievers. Ephesians 5:15-17 says this. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We must make the most of every opportunity to live as Christ calls us, to live separate from the world, to be his kingdom on this earth, to proclaim his word. Again, to live and be his kingdom means to live separate from the world, to not look, to not act like the world, but that makes sure we are reflecting God's kingdom so that we are effective at sharing the gospel of Jesus. We should use every opportunity of our day to have wholesome, engaging conversations with unbelievers so that they can understand the good news and respond in faith. We should ensure that we know the message of Christ well, that we are able to explain and defend it. We must know God's word. If we don't know God's word, how can we explain it? How can we defend it? We must preserve, nurture, and cultivate carefully the truth of our Christian faith in our own hearts, and in our lives and in our actions, so that we can grow in our ability to defend Christ's message and our faith. Because I don't know about you, but we live in a world where there are multiple ways to God, according to a lot of people. There are people out there who are wanting to know the truth, and we have to be able to defend that truth to them. So we must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that we can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it, Titus 1:9. We should not be afraid to be missionaries to those around us and to proclaim the name of Jesus. We should do so with boldness and in courage, but also in humility. I get it. Some of us have different personalities. Believe it or not, I'm actually an introvert. I extrovert a lot when I'm at church and other places, but I will shut down the moment that I get home. And it takes a lot of significant effort for me to be in public and to engage in conversation. My oldest is an extrovert, like her dad. We can go out in public, and she will strike up a conversation with anybody that she sees. And I love that in her. And to have that courage and that boldness, and she's not afraid to share what she believes in. But even though we have different personalities, God knows each and every one of us, right? So God knows that some of us may be more able to talk to people, be more open, and God knows some of us are more to ourselves. But God can give us ways to be able to share the word with people. And when we have those opportunities, we should do so again with love and respect and gentleness, making sure that our words and our language and our body language are always full of grace and seasoned with salt. These days are lots of conversations about. There's so much going on in the world. The Lord is coming back soon. Absolutely. We don't know the day or hour the Lord is coming back, and we look forward to his return. But let us never become idle. If we become idle and we lose the vision of what God is calling us to do, how are people going to come to know Christ? We are here and we are now because God calls us to spread his word for the here and the now. You are here for this reason. You were born in this time period and you've seen these things happen because God has you here for this reason. As long as we are alive, we need to remember that God has sent us on a mission for him. So you are where you are at in your job. You're where you're at in school. You are at this church. You are in your community. You live wherever you live because God placed you there, because God has you in that place for a reason, because you are part of his mission. It is that he has sent you to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It will absolutely be a glorious day when the Lord returns, but again, we don't know, right? We cannot just wait every day saying, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, come, because we have to be doing our part. We have to be sharing Christ with others. We're all missionaries. We're all sent by God, and yes, so many go out and they give up their comfort and they give up their homes to go into full-time missionaries. And we pray for them and we send them and we support them. And they are diligent in their work, but they're not the only ones in the front lines. We are also in the front lines of missions. And when the Lord comes back, may he find us hard at work for his kingdom. May he not find us complacent, letting the missionaries who are called full-time do all the work, because we will never reach our community that way. That's right. So during this Missions Emphasis Month, I want to challenge you. So you may be like, I pray for opportunities and I'm awesome at that. That's great. But some of us can all be very guilty of not praying for opportunities daily when we wake up. So I want to encourage you to start this month and continue that. You will wake up every day and ask God to provide opportunities to share with others. And again, not just the month of October. Don't be like, October's done, so I don't have to pray anymore because we're not talking about missions. Wrong. Missions is every day because, again, you are a missionary. So pray for continual opportunities to share Jesus. And let us pray starting with our lost loved ones. Sometimes those are the hardest but also can be the easiest people because they know you, right? They can see a difference in you, or they should see a difference in you. And there's nothing like having someone you've known your entire life finally accepting Christ. I don't know if you've had that opportunity ever in your life, but let me just encourage you. If you have one unsaved love person, member, have your family, however you say it, pray that God will give you a specific opportunity for that one person. That you will choose just that one person to focus on this month, and that maybe the Lord will give you that opportunity. I've recently had the opportunity to have a cousin who I've known my entire life come to the Lord. And I have the wonderful privilege of being able to water baptize her when we go up for Thanksgiving. There is nothing like seeing somebody so curious to want to know the Lord and be hungry to understand the Lord. And so let me encourage you for that one. Find and think of that one person in your family that you can pray for specifically this month, or you have a coworker that you're just like, me and this coworker were amazing friends, and the Lord give me opportunity this month to be able to have them be my one, and that you will be able to share with them. So we have lost loved ones. We have friends that are not saved. We have community all around us. We live in different places. The whole Twin Cities, everywhere, Minnesota, all sorts of places. But may the Lord be able to use us wherever we are. Pray and expect big things from God, right? Because sometimes we go in being like, Lord, this opportunity, right? But like, pray with excitement, knowing that the Lord can open up a big door for you, that the Lord can produce great things by using you. And pray for our missionaries. Pray that our missionaries have those doors opened. They are in some of the hardest places. Some of them have to learn new languages, and they have to find creative ways to even talk about God. And so in America, we have that freedom and liberty to share and believe what we want to believe, right? But in other countries, they don't have that. So pray for our missionaries that they will have opportunities, even slight, small opportunities that may be to us, but they can see those doors that they will walk through them as well. And pray that God will give us courage to step out through those open doors that he provides us, that he will give us the spirit and his presence will be with us, and that he will give us the words to be able to share. Because remember, it's not our mission, but it's God's mission. And we have all been sent, as we are all missionaries.